Good morning. It's good to be here once again. Welcome to Every Nation, Malaysia. We want to thank all the worship team, all the volunteers in our midst. Would you give them a hand for leading us into such a great time of worship, encountering God? In fact, I was ready to go home already, right? Because I was so filled through the worship. Today, as I wrap up this Upside Down Kingdom series, this is part four of our series. How many guys have enjoyed this series? This Upside Down Kingdom, I really enjoyed it. I don't know about you, but every time I prepare this message, I get convicted. Okay? I believe that the Word of God speaks to the different one of us. And this series is really speaking about the contrast and the tension between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world. And how as believers, as we mentioned that we are under the Lordship of Christ, that we subscribe to the kingdom values. And we find that the values are contrasting, is inverted. What is valued highly in the world is valued very lowly in the kingdom of God, and vice versa. We spoke about how the kingdom is really king's domain, a king's rule, king's authority. And this weekend we have 80 participants in our Victory Weekend right now in Bangi Resort. We have a Victory Weekend for the Every Nation churches in Klang Valley. It was a great time. I was there together with them on Friday night, and I could see that God is really moving. The kingdom of God is advancing. The kingdom of God is forcefully advancing. So we have to decide then, are we part of the kingdom of God, or are we part of the kingdom of the world? Now, we spoke about how the kingdom of God is the rule over the universe, but it is also reigning in our hearts. And daily, we have a decision to make. Whether do we subscribe to the kingdom of God rule in our heart? I like what this theologian said. He says, there can be no kingdom of God in the world without the kingdom of God in our hearts. Because the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. We have kind of covered 4 weeks. And today, as I wrap it up, we kind of want to talk about this topic of heavenly treasures versus earthly treasures. Heavenly treasures versus earthly treasures. We spoke about death and life, first versus last. Last week, Pastor Eugene speak about weakness versus strength. So today, we want to look at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which is very early on in his ministry. He kind of teach the longest sermon, Matthew 5, 6, 7, and he was speaking about various issues of life. He was speaking about fasting. He was speaking about judging other people. He was speaking about prayer, divorce, and being generous to the poor. And right in the middle of the Sermon of the Mount, he inserted this teaching about treasures. He inserted this teaching about treasures, and that is where we're going to kind of read from the passage. Okay, let me read to all of us here. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your word. We ask that your word will speak to us. We open up our hearts to you, God, Lord. Let your word go forth and accomplish its purpose. God, we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. Amen. Now, this verse kind of hit right center to our hearts, isn't it? It is not difficult to understand. I mean, we don't have to look at this verse and begin to try to figure out what is the underlying meaning of this verse. What does it actually say? It's easy to understand, but not so easy to live out in our hearts. Now, basically, Jesus presented us a choice. The choice between laying up for yourself treasures on earth or treasures in heaven. And then he tells us which is better. He tells us that treasures in heaven, it's better because it's eternal and it lasts forever. Right? He tells us that treasures on earth, it's not so wise investments because it doesn't last. It moth destroys, rust destroys, thieves break down and steal. And we all know it, right? We all know it. Treasures on earth does not last. Whether it is from stock market to crypto, one instant it could be flying and the next instant it could be crashing. Accumulation of things that we like to accumulate. Growing up, I like to accumulate comics and books as well as CDs. And many, many years later, when I took out my boxes of CDs, obviously we don't have CD players anymore, the CDs will be moldy. Okay, my younger kids will look at a CD and say, "Daddy, what's this?" It's moldy. It's moth and rust destroys. My books become yellow. It disintegrates. It's no longer nice to read. Talking about thieves breaking in and steal. Now, last week, my parents were here, and I sent them to the airport. While driving to the airport, we had a fun chat. We were chatting about what happened in the past, and somehow we were chatting about there was one time whereby thieves broke into our house while we were still sleeping and stole some of our possession. And we were in Miri at the time. My dad was working in a bank, and Chinese New Year, they often, those days, they sent big hampers of snacks and goods, and usually at the top of the hamper there will be alcohol. Okay, in those days it was the popular one, it was XO. So every single year my dad would receive, I don't know, between 25, 30, 35 boxes of hampers. And over the years, we will eat the food, we will give people the snacks, and we will keep that alcohol at home. And this was when I was growing up. And I remember when we moved back to Kuching, in one of our rooms, my dad will keep all the, I think it was probably 30, 35 bottles of XO, which was all given to him. He doesn't buy, he doesn't drink it, so he kept it, he stored it up. But there was only one alcohol that he bought, which, if I can recall, I was probably 13, 14 years old. It was a 3-liter tall Martell, 3-liter. And he told everyone, he says, "This will be open the day that my son, which is me, gets married." Yeah, I was 14 years old, okay? I was 14 years old. So I don't know, maybe when I was 15, 16 years old, one night, when we woke up, as we come down in the morning, we realized that our sliding door was open. And they took nothing except all the alcohol and my wedding alcohol. Okay, jokingly, I was 15 years old. I told my dad, "Looks like I'm not going to get married." But thieves destroy. I don't know, my dad probably feels sad, right? But that's what happened, right? Because earthly treasures is subject to all these different temporal challenges. But yet, we all know it, but we still have the tendency to store up, to lay up treasures on earth. Because materialism is so around us. It is in our daily grind. And every one of us has the tendency to look at material things, to do the things that God has never intended material things to do. For example, we have a tendency to look at material things to give us identity, which God has never intended that to do. We have a tendency to look at material things to give us fundamental sense of joy, of significance, of self-worth, of identity, which God has never intended material things to do. It is a never-ending loop. The kingdom of the world says more, right? More is never enough, more. But the kingdom of God says contentment. Contentment. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, it says, "Godliness with contentment is great gain." But the world says more. And we want to hear from one of the richest men ever lived. And he says this. He says, "Whoever loves money never has enough." That's true, isn't it? It's never enough. "Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income." This too is meaningless. And this is King Solomon, one of the richest men ever lived. And he too mentioned that it is meaningless. It is not, the answer is not more. But we all have that tendency, and throughout history, we carry our treasures on earth. We want to carry it to the next side of life. We lay up treasures on earth and we think that we can carry on as we pass on. Reminds me of a story. There was this husband and wife, and this husband was a miser, and he collects He will collect pieces of jewelry and he will keep bags of money and he will keep it in his bedroom. Okay, he doesn't trust anyone, and he, over the years, he has accumulated suitcases of cash. And he tells his wife, he says, "One day when I die, I want you to bury all my cash together with me in my coffin." Remember that, okay? So he'll tell the wife, "This is my request." And he will tell the friends, "This is my request. You all be the witness." And true enough, one day he passed away, and the wife did what she needed to do. And the friends begin to ask the wife, "So did you honor your husband requests to bury him with all the money, all the cash that he has?" And the wife says, "Of course I honor his request. I wrote him a check and I buried a check." You know, throughout history, we thought that we can carry that. I want to share with you one of the Egyptian king, King Pharaoh, right? One of the pharaohs, King Tutankhamun. One of his, there was this tomb that was discovered about 100 years ago, and it was such an amazing, beautiful tomb with 30 incredible treasures. And this is a very powerful Egyptian king. There was that, you can see the tomb. On the left side, you can see the golden sandals, right? That's our version of designer shoes. Dagger weapon, and that's the chariot. That's our modern version of vehicle. And they have that golden chair, right? That's our modern day of massage chair. And all the masks and armor, and because he believed that he can carry it to the next life. And there will be jewels pushed into his mouth and everything, because he believed that he could take it on with him. There was even board games that was discovered in that tomb. Another story, some of you are familiar, Terracotta Warriors, which was discovered in the probably 1920s in Xi'an, right? They discovered this huge archaeological site whereby all these statues were buried together with tomb. But only in 2011, as they kind of dig up more of these, the place, they begin to discover there were 9 tombs. This is in 2011. They discovered there is 9 tombs, but the Chinese government did not allow them to open up the tomb for fear of destroying it. But just this year, because of rain that threatened to destroy the tomb, they were allowed to kind of dig the tomb up. So it was 15,000 kg, one of the biggest tombs. And when they opened it, they found treasure-filled tomb. Okay, and they believed that potentially this person could be the son of the first emperor. The first Chinese emperor. They believed that it could be. And inside that tomb, there were treasures. There were weapons. There were gold. There were jade. And interestingly, there were also cooking utensils. Okay, I don't know. Some of you husband and wife, you say, "Okay, I can't relate to that." But there were also 6,000 bronze coins. So it speaks about, we, throughout history, have the tendency to think that we can accumulate and bring across what we accumulate on earth to eternity, right? So Jesus is saying that, hey, first things first, choose. Lay up treasures in heaven. Jesus tells us the wiser choice. He says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is a deeper issue here. Wealth and money is never just a money and wealth thing. It is always a heart issue. It is always something deeper. So Jesus is saying that you cannot have your heart at two places at one time. Your heart can only be at one place and at one time. And I pray and I believe that as Christians, that we are at the right side of the equation. Now, I'm not saying that we should despise material things or feel guilty about having. It's not about that, but it is about stewardship. It is about where our heart is. And God cares about that heart. The point is not the treasure. The point is where our heart is. So once the heart is at the right place, guess what? The treasures follows. Secondly, Jesus gave us another choice. First, it's choice between two treasure. Secondly, it's choice between two vision, two perspective of the eye. Jesus says, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? So it speaks about how the eye is where obviously we see, and the eye is where the light comes into our whole body. So he says that if your eye is bad, your whole body will be in darkness. So this is a choice between two perspectives of how we look at wealth. And the word use has kind of two meaning. Okay, the Greek word use, it means a generous eye towards, a generous view towards money. And it's true. When a person is generous, most likely the person's life is full of joy and full of. But if it's a person who is stingy and selfish, his life will not be reflective of the word light. And the second meaning is single-mindedness. It's about not being distracted. It's about having that perspective towards the kingdom of God, towards eternity. And the expression evil eye has that Hebrew cultural view of being envious. If your eye is bad, you know, envy robs our joy. Envy will look at what we do not have. And envy will make us forget what we have. It's really a downward spiral to measure ourselves with, and we fall into that comparison trap. So he says that if evil eye, it robs your joy. Evil eye, your world and your life will be full of darkness. The discontentment, the jealousy, the strife. It's tiring. So Jesus is saying that choose. Good eye, evil eye. And finally, he gives us another choice. He says, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. And he says, you cannot serve God and money. He says, you cannot serve God and money. Wow. Aren't you glad you're in church today? So Jesus is saying that it's a choice between two masters. Now, it's not talking about, you know, doing two jobs and side. It's not talking about that. It's speaking about the loyalty. Because a slave cannot be a slave to two masters. So it's either, right? It's either we are a slave to money, or is money our servant? And sometimes we say, you know, Pastor, can I serve God more, but I serve money less? But I still serve both. Right? We kind of try to justify those conversations. Well, if I can serve God maybe 100 points, maybe I serve money only 40 points. Can or not? But Jesus is saying that you cannot serve both God and money. It kind of brings us back to the history of Israel as a nation. That as they worship Yahweh, as they worship Jehovah, God says you can only worship one God, right? You should have no other gods before me. But sometimes along the history of the nation of Israel, guess what? Yes, they worship Yahweh, but they also worship Baal. They also worship pagan gods. And their worship was divided. And we all know what that means. Over and over again, the hearts of the nation of Israel often turn astray when their worship and when their devotion is divided. Because we cannot worship, we cannot serve two masters. So Jesus again presents us with a choice. Two kinds of treasure, two kinds of perspective, two kinds of master. Activate our hands. A choice between two masters. And I pray that as we allow the Word of God to speak to us, that we will begin to understand that there is this tension, this inverted values between the two kingdoms. It's going to be different. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of the world. Now, I'm not talking about not working hard, not talking about expanding, saving, investing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the issues of the heart. I'm talking about stewardship. I'm talking about generosity. I'm talking about fixing our eyes on the treasures in heaven. Now, what are the treasures in heaven? We may not be able to carry the material things from this earth to eternity, but the good that we do, we can. The Christ-like character that we have developed, we can. The Bible speaks about crowns of righteousness. The Bible speaks about rewards in heaven. Comes from standing firm in our faith, enduring persecution, enduring trials, being generous, serving the needy, involving winning souls to Christ. These are all treasures that we lay up in heaven. Treasures that will last. Corinthians, just speak about everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training, and they do it to get a crown that will not last. Right? We go into competition and we do that and we get a crown, and it's good, it's nice, but it will not last for eternity. But he says that we do this to get a crown that will last forever. So as Jesus kind of speak this passage right in the Sermon of the Mount, and as he kind of conclude that later on, in a few paragraphs later, and Jesus is saying that, but seek first. He gives us the solution. He gives us his suggestion, his advice. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to do as well. You know, treasures in heaven, we reap the reward, not just in heaven, but we reap the reward now on earth as well. But this reward will continue on even for eternity. You know, when we trust someone who has gone before us, now I remember, maybe this was 2 years ago, when the borders began to, travel borders began to be open. And some of you may have the same experience when the travel borders opened and there were many confusing policies, right? Changes between countries to countries, COVID policies and restriction, which country you can go, which country you need declaration before, and which nation you need boosters. So it was very confusing as the nation travel borders just began to open. But we begin to try to do research. Let's say we want to go to a particular country, country A, and we do research and we begin to read up, okay, you need to do this declaration online and this and that. You got to print this and bring your vaccine cert and whatnot. And then you find out that someone who just went to this country A and just came back yesterday. Guess what? You will ask this person, right? Hey, can you tell me? When you reach there, what do they ask? Do they ask for this? Do they ask for that? Do we have to print the cert? Do we have to, is soft copy? We begin to ask because this person has gone and comes back. And we trust this person. Is it true if we fill up first? It's a faster line. And we ask all these questions. Isn't that true? Because we trust the person who has gone and came back. And to tell us what is it like at the other country. You know, Jesus has experienced the grandeur, the majestic, the beauty, the splendor, the greatness of heaven. And he comes down to earth. It's incomparable. Treasures on earth, what do we hold to the highest value? Maybe gold. In heaven, gold's, they are used gold to pave the streets. What was so valuable on earth is used to pave roads in heaven. So Jesus came down, having experienced all that, and came down and tells us, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, because it's temporal. But instead, lay up treasures in heaven, because it's eternal. And I thought about the tomb that we spoke about just now, the King Egyptian tomb and the Chinese Emperor's son's tomb filled with treasures was left on earth. And I thought about the tomb of Jesus. Simple, a hole in the cave covered with stone. What a contrast. What a contrast of people who has laid up treasures on earth compared to the tomb of Jesus. What a contrast. And Jesus is alive. And he tells us, choose kingdom values. Why don't we stand? I'm going to pray for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just close our eyes. Holy Spirit, we pray, God, that you will shine a light in our hearts today. Father, it's not just about a material thing. It is where our heart is. It is where our eyes are. And it's our loyalty and our devotion. Can I pray, God, as we conclude this series, and I pray as disciples of Christ, as believers, that we will allow the kingdom values to confront us, to challenge us, to live different. Father, I pray even today as we talk, God, we come before you, we ask for your forgiveness. If we have been laying up treasures on earth, we have been divided in our devotion, we have been clouded with our eyes, God, Lord, we ask for your forgiveness. God, we know that you're not against material things, but you are against material things having us. I pray, God, that we will realign our hearts, readjust our eyes, and reactivate our hands so that we can do good, that we can win people to Christ, that we can give, and we can serve, and we can endure suffering, we can stand firm in our faith, so that the crown of righteousness, so that the heavenly treasures, the heavenly rewards will be ours for us to enjoy, not just on this earth, but for eternity. God, we thank you that you have came down and you have tell us, warn us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this message. We thank you, Lord, for this word. We pray that you will convict our hearts. You will speak to us so that we can live a life laying up treasures in heaven, blessing people, investing into the lives of the people, impacting lives for eternity, Lord. We pray for our faith. For some of us, maybe our faith is wavering. Maybe our faith is not well. God, I pray, God, that we will stand strong. We will be encouraged. We will have the eternity view to know, God, Lord, that we want to stand strong in our faith. We want to endure suffering. We want to endure trials, Lord. We may not see breakthroughs on earth, but we hold on to the promise that we will receive the crown of righteousness. God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.